Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden. Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up, and it'll be particularly straight up today. We're going to have Ben Nicholas Lalonde talk about how the Democratic Party has conquered, now owns the Republican Party, at least in Colorado. And some other subjects.
The show brought to you today, as always, by Colorado Citizen Press and their national site, America's Citizen Press. Check it out every day.
We've gone national. We're on their site. So we're getting people in from all across the country, which is really great.
Right. And Cenogenics, Dr. Julie McCallum, You know, a lot of people thinking about starting the new year off with a different health plan. That's a perfect place to go to. Also, I always want to take this opportunity to remind folks, you can catch all of our podcasts at Chuck and Julie. .com. There are links there to YouTube, to Podbean, to Apple Music, to Spotify, to iHeart, anywhere you want to, Rumble, everything you can go to is there. We really like it if you like us and follow us, especially on YouTube. That just helps us get the message out even more.
And so we'll start off with what Fox News has dubbed the Christmas miracle.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Well, that's remiss. Let's also, before we get into making you gag, Merry Christmas to everybody. I want to let you know we're taping this show, so you won't be able to call in, but we'll be back again on Monday. Okay, now proceed with the gagging.
COVID-19, the long-awaited rescue for the American public, has finally been passed by overwhelming margins. I think there are only 51 negative votes in the House. 49 Republicans, 2 Democrats, and in the Senate, there were a grand total of 6 Republicans and no Democrats for this bipartisan one that will lay out a groundwork for a bipartisan 4 years of
bipartisan global reset aimed at taking away your money, your tax dollars, screwing you over for the benefit of multinational corporations. Basically, we're talking about a $2.5 trillion spending bill, which of course we don't have, right? $900 billion is going for COVID release. According to the conservative treehouse, and we're going to quote other people's analysis here, there's a 70-30 split. Who do you think has the 70 and who do you think has the 30? Guess what? We have the 30%.
Who's we?
We being working families, what you would call Main Street small businesses. And a lot of that is...
I think they're being generous.
Well, they are. I mean, and a lot of that is like the $600. Now, granted, which of course... Many of us aren't even going to get anyway. Roughly 70% of that essentially goes to the donor class and special interests. Things like, you're going to love this. $3 billion of it, more than a lot of us are going to get, goes to other countries. $26 million goes to the Kennedy Center. Millions of dollars are going to gender programs in Pakistan. It's not even really clear what a climate security advisory panel is, but they're getting a ton of it. I mean, this is, well, then I'll let Chuck rant, but I'm going to briefly rant.
Oh, no, you're doing a good job.
This ties into what we're going to say. Republicans, the establishment swamp Republicans, are not Republicans. What did Matt Arnold with the Campaign Integrity Watchdog coined the phrase yesterday, Diablo Republicans? And that stands for Democrats in all but label only. And that's what they are. They're not even rhinos. They're not even pretending to be Republicans anymore. They're just Democrats using the Republican label. And it is like the conservative treehouse. If you haven't gone to that website, go to that right after you check America Citizen Press.
They got thrown off WordPress.
Right, exactly. So they got a new...
They had to get a new platform.
But they explained it correctly. You know, Congress said this is what, some almost 6,000 pages. They're like, oh, we didn't have time to read it. You know why? Because they don't care. They don't have to read it. Congress does not write the bill. The bills like this are written by special interests, global corporate interest, billionaires who are basically using their money to subvert our democracy. And then they hire lobbyists who make a ton of money. The lobbyists go down there and essentially they bribe or corrupt politicians, giving them and their families a lot of money to pass these bills. None of it has anything to do with us. None of them care about us.
What I missed out on was the part that the Republicans fought for. I mean, giving a paltry $600 to each man, woman, and children. That couldn't have been it. I mean, Democrats.
Well, they could have just opened the economy. I mean, call me crazy. Right, we could have saved $900 billion if we would have just say, let businesses open, let restaurants open, let people go to work, let kids go to school. But no, we want to lock all of that down, cause all kinds of misery, crush dreams, and then say, oh, but we're going to give you $600.
So the Republicans said that's what they fought for. They've been far better off not fighting for it and passing a bill that had zero for the American people, because $1,200 was by Nancy Pelosi crumbs, as Ben Nicholas pointed out. Now this one is a splendid relief for America. But what do, I mean, I would like to get some Republican on to explain, when they go in these negotiations, what do the Republicans fight for?
Their companies, the donors, the donor class. They fight to get their donor class taken care of.
I know, but which donor class?
U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
I don't know. Do they get money? I mean, I don't know. Because all you hear about, who decided that we really, you get $600, but former presidents, which I guess is Carter at 96. Who else is level? Oh, Bill Clinton, he needs the money. And the Bushes, the beautiful Bushes. They get $4.4 million. You kind of go, oh yeah, they need it. Yeah, the Clintons need it because, there's charity scam.
But you, isn't working jump, out. You know, it's like poor, we'll have to get him back on next week. Randall Yarbrough with the Lion's Den and Lions, who was fighting to stay open. This is what your elected officials do. I mean, they do not work for us. The town trustee, number one, is texting him during the hearing where they were revoking his license, threatening to shoot people. So it's gone beyond just having them not listen to us anymore. Now we have elected officials.
Well, Channel 9, of course. Channel 9 is always trying to, Channel 9 and Kyle Clark is murdering us. So you can be happy about that. I really honestly think that when the FBI gave the warning that what they're really worried about is right-wing violence, because there's none today, or virtually none, that what they're talking about is when this country finally revolts against this disgusting.
And you know what? It's,
we don't have a government anymore. No. We don't have a country anymore. I mean, I've lived in oppressive societies like Franco Spain. I've been in communist countries and places like Yugoslavia. I've been in Lebanon back in the late 60s and 70s, where everybody hates the government, or by and large, people hate the government. And I was always kind of going, boy, I'm glad I live in America, because even though we have all our problems, we all don't hate our government. I hate our government.
Well, what's worse is our government hates us. I mean, it'd be one thing if we just hated our government, but it's another thing when your government hates you, when your government is closing down your business, when your government is destroying your kids' childhood, when your government, like we said with the Lions trustee, is threatening to shoot you if they disagree with you. I mean, it's bad enough that we hate our government, but our government hates us. Speaking of Republicans, we pulled a soundbite. Rand Paul.
Was one of the few, and maybe the only, maybe Ted Cruz a little bit. The only one is willing to street truth to power. And he's had a lot of great, this is one of his great ones.
Right. He talked yesterday saying, what the heck, what are Republicans? They're not Republicans.
Well, it's earlier in the week now, this Friday.
Right. Yeah. But he passes. So if we could go ahead and play the Rand Paul soundbite.
Yet, if free money were the answer, if money really grew on trees, why not give more free money? Why not give it out all the time? Why stop at $600 a person? Why not $1,000? Why not $2,000? Maybe these new free money Republicans should join the Everybody Gets a Guaranteed Income Caucus. Why not $20,000 a year for everybody? Why not $30,000? If we can print up money with impunity, why not do it? The Treasury can just keep printing the money. That is, until someone points out that the emperor has no clothes and that the dollar no longer has value. To so-called conservatives who are quick to identify the socialism of Democrats, if you vote for this spending monstrosity, you are no better. When you vote to pass out free money, you lose your soul and you abandon forever any semblance of moral or fiscal integrity. So the next time you see Republicans in high moral dudgeon claiming and complaining about spending of Democrats and socialism, remind them. Remind them if they supported this monstrous bill that really the difference between the parties is less Adam Smith versus Marx and more Marx versus Ingalls. How bad is our fiscal situation? Well, the federal government brought in $3.3 trillion last year and spent $6.6 trillion. The deficit last year, a record-busting $3.3 trillion. If you're looking for more COVID bailout money, we don't have any. The coffers are bare. We have no rainy day fund. We have no savings account. Congress has spent all the money long ago.
And then they spent more with $2.5 trillion. And the bottom line is, Chuck, as we're pointing out, it's not coming to us. And the answer is, and this is what really makes me angry about all of this. This is what I now believe. And the Republicans are every bit as guilty of this as the Democrats. This whole COVID thing was aimed at, number one, trying to destroy Trump and give him a reason to steal the election. Right. And number two, to go ahead and line the pockets of their favorite corporate donors and the global interests that want to, as they say, reset the economy, which means give them all the money and take it all away from us. And that's why they used it and the Republicans went along. They could have avoided all of this by simply allowing us to go to work, by allowing our kids to go to school. But instead, they wanted to create this crisis so they could give all of the money to their friends and to gender programs in Sudan, which, by the way,
ex-presidents.
Right. And ex-presidents. Well, I guarantee you the gender program in Sudan
goes to their favorite donor.
NGO, right.
Well, it's some NGO.
The Clinton Foundation here. Gender Program, right. Education for Sudan.
But I understand you said, you know, they're fighting for their donors. Which donors? So which particular donors in this negotiation when they said, well, we want $10 million for gender studies programs in Pakistan, the Republicans countered by what?
Nothing.
What exactly did, well, no, you know, it's a negotiation, so it's a,
They countered by saying, I imagine that has something to do with, businesses, right? I mean, actually, the Republicans totally caved in the whole concept of immigration. They're extending H-1 and whatever. I always want to say H-1N1, but the H-1B visas.
It's a swine flu.
This way, exactly, which is what the Chamber of Commerce wants. And they're doing that at a time when you've got millions of Americans unemployed and underemployed. Oh, okay. But rather than saying, we're going to protect your job, Americans, and we're going to say no to letting more people, and a lot of those are high tech jobs, keep in mind. These are not people who are milling at the border trying to escape some kind of oppression in a foreign country. No, these are people who are just willing to work cheaper in the United States. So they come here, the high tech Americans who have their job have to train them, then they fire the Americans, and then they say, oh, but we're going to send you a $600 COVID check. Woo!
So what are the Republicans fighting for? I mean, where are the other, let's see, there are 53 Republicans in the Senate. Six voted against it. So 47 other Republicans decided this would be great for America. We fought hard for this, you know, and luckily this bipartisanship, which seems like a uniparty ship.
it seems like swamp ship.
And why they think that's going to help them. I mean, they just finished elections, so none of them are up for election right now. So you think they could stand firm a little bit, just a little
bit. No, just the opposite. There's no threat to them now. I think, Chuck, we are long past the time when our elected officials care about us for the reasons that we just outlined. They don't write the bills. They just do what the big money people tell them to do. Again, lions, they're threatening to shoot us. I mean, that's how far we've come.
Well, they already shot us in Denver. Why not in Lyons?
That's right.
And so the Republican Party couldn't get it done. When Trump could possibly be elected. So they waited to after the election for what purpose? Why is this good now? So that it paves the way for Joe not have to worry about a budget in 2021 because this lasts through September 30th.
They're trying to bury Trump. This is what I think. The people who voted for this. Yeah. Well, right. I mean, Trump was, he came in, he upset their money train, right? He derailed the money train. The Mitch McConnells of the world, I believe, are just as happy to get rid of Trump almost as the Chuck Schumers and Nancy Pelosi's. Yeah, they don't want Trump anyway. He upset all of the Democrats had some ideological issues, but the Republicans, he just upset their money train. And so they're happy to get rid of him. And they jump, the money train is now right back on track, right? They just said, hey, don't worry, guys, we've got this COVID thing now, and we may have our different reasons for loving it, but that's what I think. That's why they don't care. They long ago quit caring about what citizens think, because citizens, who are those pesky schmecky citizens, right? And Donald Trump briefly came in and said, hey, citizens matter. And this election, they're trying to show us, no, we don't.
Yeah,
but we do.
No, we don't.
I think we do. That's why we're not having a cheery Christmas program. Sorry about that, guys. But because we can't stop.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Oh. But I mean, we can't stop fighting. I think that this is a time when we are going to need leadership. We are going to need everyone's voices speaking out. I mean, this is one of those times that if you sit on the sidelines, man, you're going to be trampled, and we may get trampled, but at least we're going to, do some fighting.
Well, Who should we over in the U.S. Senate, cheer on?
Well, Rand Paul.
Yeah, okay.
Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz, that's about
it. Not Mitt Romney. That's right. And this is from our producer. This is just money laundering, plain and simple. Foreign money laundering. That's all foreign aid is. Absolutely right. Absolutely correct. That money, I don't think, necessarily increases and improves. I mean, how much of a gender program study problem do they have in Pakistan? You'd think you wouldn't need millions and millions of dollars.
But I promise you, some nonprofit in America
does. Oh, sure, it's going to get.
But where are the nonprofits on the Republican side that get all these cash ones? I mean, I'd love just to know, because it doesn't seem to be any. Maybe it's the military. Maybe it's the military industrial complex.
Well, that's, I think, why. That's true, because this bill does, one of the things it has is the defense spending, right? And I think the Republicans are trying to jump on the social media train. I think it's interesting, right? All of these attorney generals and all of these states have filed suits and complaints again, and the Justice Department, even against Google and Facebook, who, by the way, contributed tens of millions of dollars to make sure that Democrats got elected into the campaign. What do you think is going to happen with that? I mean, seriously, nothing. They're going to continue to censor us. They're going to continue to steal our data and turn around and sell it. They're going to continue to spy on us. And that's why, I mean, that's why big tech played so heavily in this is, and now they expect to be paid back, and they will. Why do you think there are so many Silicon Valley people in Joe Biden's transition team?
Because
he can't work his cell phone.
Best and the brightest. It's the best and the brightest for all of us. They're working hard for all of us. And so it makes you want to go out and vote for your local. Luckily, we don't have any senators left because they've crooked us in here in Colorado. And Cory Gardner, who had a wonderful farewell speech. It was just so heartfelt, calling for bipartisanship and working all together and listening to their lobbyists, which he is going to be coming up, starting January 20th, he's going to be down there with the big bucks.
Well, what did Cory Gardner have? I'm thinking, literally, he did indeed vote with Trump 97% of the time. But you know who he voted with 100% of the time? U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Yes,
so,
yes,
so that's who his real boss was.
So we love him. We love him. We're sorry to see him go. He was such a fighter for us. It's just amazing.
Part of me, though, it's I'm glad he's gone, because we can quit the charade now. Would you want to move to the Denver Post? The hit job on grassroots Republicans.
Oh, we can go to that in a second, and we can bring Ben on. But this is not a cheery program. We got to get more cheery. Let's get some alcohol out.
Yeah. You guys want to, every time we say Diablo Republican, everyone take a shot or something like that.
That's right. That's right.
And we will get cheery toward the end. But there is
good. We'll put you in charge of that. You got a cheery shirt on. So
that's right. This is my snowflake shirt.
I'm going with Man in Black.
It is so important, though. And I think by we, I mean programs like ours, listeners like you, people like the Nevilles, and the Values First Colorado and the Take Back Colorado, those kind of things.
Values First, because now controlled by the bad guys.
Oh, is that okay? Mm-hmm. Well, don't listen to that one then. But anything that
Back Colorado.
The Neville's organizations. And places like the Jefferson County Republicans doing their own audit. What's beautiful
we had Denise Mont, the chairman of the Republican Party in Jefferson, over. I couldn't say I'd be more impressed by somebody who I can't tell you how often this happens. She reached out to the Republican Party, the state Republican Party, and and
for help.
For help, and help was coming. They didn't even return her phone call.
Didn't even, and so, and but here's the thing. Thank goodness, because I think that the emperor's, it's been revealed that the emperor has no clothes. And that's why I'm saying there is reason for hope. And this is the cheery,
right.
this is
that's
maybe
right.
not cheery, but this is a hopeful part of it. And that is people like the Jefferson County Republicans realize now the state Republican party is going to help them. So what do? They do it on their own, right? Mm-hmm. We realize that, okay, Twitter isn't going to help us. YouTube's going to censor us. So what do? We turn to other channels, other ways of doing it. I think that, you know, the mainstream media, and you can see, I think, by the hit piece on.
No, let's not get to that.
Okay. We'll wrap this part up then.
Okay, we'll wrap this part up. So now we have the elections in Georgia, and I'll assume they'll be stolen.
Oh, yeah. What if Stacey Abrams has 8,000 votes? So here's the thing. So Stacey Abrams is saying.
85,000.
Yeah, I have 85,000.
Yeah, well, she's got, I mean, she'd said 1.2 million new registrations and everything else.
Right. And Stacey Abrams, I guarantee you, if the person is in a Republican era, she's like, ripping it up, shredding it. Oh, I guess yours got lost in the mail.
Well, the Fulton County Voting Center, I mean, that water leak is very tenuous. Yeah. Their fix was tenuous. And then you have total traitors. And I don't get it. I'm sure he was paid off in Kemp, the governor. I mean, he ran as basically a Trump person.
But he had extreme. Money coming in from Dominion, so.
He had money coming from Dominion, and the Secretary of State, totally corrupt. Gabriel Sturman, you know, their election headquarters guy, a never-Trumper. And so, you know, Purdue is a sellout.
My prediction is that it will be stolen.
Yeah.
And it'll be a landslide in favor of the Democrats. Right. And you know what?
If the
Republicans are stupid enough to not wake up and to not realize if you're, you know, the Mitch McConnell, if you're one of those, whatever.
Mitch will do fine. Well, don't worry about Mitch.
But some of those Republicans.
And Elaine Chao, his wife.
If they don't, if they don't.
Chinese, of course.
Yeah.
In background.
If they don't wake up, they're never going to win anything again, because the Democrats have learned in this cycle they can cheat. They can cheat openly. There can be videotape of them cheating, and it doesn't matter.
We should just move on. That's it.
Unity.
Unity. Remember that word from the Republican Party here in Colorado? Unity. We must all get together and vote.
Do you remember when the Colorado Republican Party, when Jared Polis was elected, had that in Colorado Peak Politics, said, we can work with Polis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, do you tell that Colorado Republican Party to all of the business owners, us included, who are hurting this Christmas, of the people whose Christmas is a little bit less, some of the people who, because of opioid and suicide, aren't even here anymore. That's how you can work with Polis. Yeah, thanks for nothing.
Yeah, thanks for nothing. But so we'll go from the somewhat
cheerful
to even more
more cheerful.
Well, we want to talk about and explain to you, because there was a Denver, we'll get to Julie's Denver Post article. There was an article in the Denver Post which said, what happened to the Republican Party in Colorado? And we
written
went through
by
that.
Democrats, by the way.
Conrad, the reporter, is a Democrat. And it basically said is because we had fringe candidates. Unhinged or fringe candidates, and they pointed Patrick Neville was the most unhinged.
Was the most popular Republican, grassroots Republican. I mean, we've been in public places with Patrick Neville, and people come up to him and they hug him. They go on to shake his hand. I think you would be hard pressed to find a more popular guy among his constituents.
But not down to the Capitol, you see.
No. Fringe.
And so Patrick pointed out that Conrad, I forget what Conrad's last name is, is a registered Democrat. That included his address. So
what he did is he tweeted his voter registration.
And so Democrat. And so Kyle Clark and
from
all the
Channel
rest
9.
Of them. Channel. Do we have a copy of that?
No, I couldn't find it. Well, we were going to.
Oh, okay.
The producer, our producer, our intern, didn't get on that.
Yeah.
I need a minion. I'm Chuck's minion. I don't have minions.
Then, that's a key in any government job is where the position you have, find somebody below you to do your work.
Yeah.
So it's we're going to explain that with the help of Ben Nicholas, who's a longtime Democrat here. He's been precinct captain and
he's a Republican, not a Democrat.
Yeah, Republican, and not a Diablo.
Not a Diablo.
So
take a shot, by the way.
Could we bring Ben up?
Hey, Ben, go ahead and.
There he is, a familiar face.
Hey, Ben, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas to you guys. I think it's appropriate that you have somebody with the last name of Nicholas.
There you go.
That's right.
We have similarities.
Got the white hair. Got the
white
hair.
You were probably busy last night, huh?
You need to put a few pounds on. But
No, I got plenty starting there. Believe me, yeah. We're chubby in this family.
Well, let's kind of start, you know, how the Democratic Party first crushed the Republicans and then took over the Republican Party in Colorado. Back in 2002, and I was down at the Capitol lobbying, the Republicans were dominant.
Yes.
They thought they were going to continue on. I remember the fundraising amounts, and they'd get a little here, a little there, which compared to the past was a lot, but it really, in relative speaking, was jump change, but back then it was big. And so as a result of that, the Democrats are in wasteland, and a group of 4 millionaires, billionaires, multimillionaires, and a bunch of very bright guys, including Ted Trumpa and all that, decided that they were going to beat a new path. They're going to ignore the Denver Republican Party. Democratic Party. Forget all the consultants who they thought were worthless, and work for one thing, which was gay rights. They all agreed on gay rights. That's all they cared about. They said, look, as long as somebody is pro-gay rights, we don't care about anything else. Let them get elected. We don't care. And of course, any candidate who wanted money, go, yeah, pro-gay rights. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's only fair. Right. Civil rights, gay marriage.
Anybody who spoke up against them, they targeted.
They crushed. Marilyn
Musgrave was one of those.
Yes. That's
and
right.
They targeted her.
Right.
So there was quite a bit of effort. They had a master plan that they put together. And in 2002, as you pointed out, there was a beginning of what was called the blueprint that Michelle Malkin has exposed in the past here.
Well, and they had a book put out by Rob Whitwer, who's become part of the swamp.
Right.
But one of the things that they did, they said, look, we can cheat our way through everything if we get mail-in ballots, cheat by mail. So they put it on the ballot. When, Ben?
It was 2002, and it was sponsored by Rhett Bridges, one of the four people
poorest of the four.
Well, you know, he still was a fairly wealthy individual, but
not compared to the other guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
they all look down on him. They all kind of go, "You're."
Well, that's a good thing about being the poorest person. You never have to pick up the bar tab, right?
No, he never had to pick up the bar tab.
But anyway, what happened? So they put it on the ballot.
Right.
And Colorado citizens said what?
Yeah. They said no. And they said, I mean, it was a dramatic defeat. They never got it on there. But leading up to that, there were three attempts to get gay marriage accepted in the state. And three times it went down in flames as well. So this is all driven by the year 2000, when they had a meeting and they all become incensed. So they formed this group. And that's what they started to do. They started picking off strategically some of the stronger Republicans that were driving some of these forces. And so they would spend lots and lots of money in defeating those people and their different precincts or their Senate area or the district that they belong to. So that's what they did. They strategically started taking them out. Once they did, then they got in weaker candidates because the Republican Party thinking, oh, my gosh, we can't be that radical. We've got to put in softer candidates into these positions to possibly take it back. And so that's where they kind of the Republican Party was not bright enough to understand that. And they also failed to do litigation.
Right.
So every time before that point in time when when the Republicans would win something, the Democrats would immediately go to the courts and they would file in court and they would normally win. And sometimes they would lose, but they still.
Well, that's because he still had various Republicans on the district court levels, court of appeals and Supreme Court. So they would sometimes lose because Owens had appointed Republicans to all those.
There's one remaining Supreme Court justice that was appointed by Owen still in there.
Right.
The rest of them are all appointed by Democrats.
So then in 2010, the districting year, And so the Republicans drew up a map, the Democrats drew up a map. Actually, the Republicans won that fight, but it was brought up to the Supreme Court.
Exactly.
And which had a majority of Democrats by then. And they overturned what it would appear to be the constitutional process and just did its own map, which is pro-Democrat. At the time, the Republican Democrat one was like 53% Republicans and 47% Democrats. Due to the gerrymandering of the map, that turned the House of Representatives over to the
Democrats forever.
Lettuce deal.
And so let me clarify this for the folks who are listening. So people need to understand, because they're still putting this fallacy out today, the Republicans and the Democrats, talking about people being too extreme, talking about Republicans losing ground. The reality is, what happened is the Democrats strategically targeted Republicans. It's not that people didn't agree with them. It's just that the Democrats threw all the money in the world against them. And when even that wasn't working well enough for them, they just changed the map to favor Democrats. So it's not as if Coloradans have changed all that much. What's changed is the money being thrown at things by Democrats and the actual districts to they rigged the system.
And so by 2012, the House was now in Democratic hands because of the gerrymandering. And in 2013, they brought mail ballot elections back in.
And it was passed.
By mail. And the Republicans have done nothing about it. They just said it's just a gold standard. It's just great. Yep. Having done the best thing about mail ballot elections, the rules are pretty vague. So you can kind of do whatever you want. And Democrats don't care if it's illegal or not, as they showed throughout the country. They don't care.
It's important for your listeners to understand that in the 2010, when the courts, the Democrats went to the court, the Supreme Court, and they usurped the constitutional right of the legislature to redistrict. They took it over. They appointed their own commission, which leaned left, and that's how they were able to restructure it. And the Republican Party sat on their hands. They did not challenge this in the upper courts because that was a constitutional violation.
They should have won. So they did that. So then you get to 2013, mail-in ballots. 2014 is a pretty good year for Republicans because the first reiteration of mail ballots, they hadn't figured out the cheating part. And so Republicans, what they generally at first thought was that if we got mail-in ballots, the less motivated Democrats would vote, right? And that'd be enough for them to take over. Because they wouldn't have to actually get up and go to a poll or anything else.
So then
Republicans were more diligent, and so they actually managed to take back the Senate that year. And that's when consultant class became, you know, all the Josh Penrys, all the
Republican
Georges,
consultant class,
all of which said, look, see, we did it. And then the Democrats just kept on adopting more ones. Same day registration, which allows them to ship people through. And there are 100 other variations, none of which litigated, none of which fought off.
But this is, again, is one of those things that your listeners have to understand, is that when they forced the mail-in ballots on us, it was not adopted by a election of the people. It was forced through partisan. It was all Democrats. Not one Republican was voting for it. They had the House. And so they forced it through and got that honest. That's how we ended up with mail-in ballots. And then at the same time, you got to remember who established their U.S. corporate offices here in Denver.
Dominion.
And who else was also playing in this field of electronics? It was the Platte River Industries, where none other than Hillary Rodham Clinton had her private email server established.
There's no coincidence.
Finally,
let me back up, though, because I want people to, so for folks who aren't from Colorado, the reason this matters to you
is here.
Saw that Colorado was very definitely a model project. When they say blueprint, they're not kidding. It was a blueprint. Now exported that. And the COVID thing let them do it on steroids. They've allowed them now to export the mail-in ballot, all of these things that we've been talking about that essentially make the Republican Party even more useless than you would think, but they've exported this to the rest of the country. So what's happened here in Colorado, where we have only one statewide elected Republican, and they'll get rid of her too any day now.
Well, she's just a squish.
Yeah, she's a squish.
Diablo.
But I mean, that's what's going to happen, and that's what did happen around the country. So while the Democrats and the Republicans are nationally are patting themselves on the back saying, oh, see, look, we prevented that blue wave. Well, that was just this time because they were so focused on getting rid of Trump.
Right.
That blue wave is coming in the, I mean, the Republicans say, oh no, we're going to do great next cycle.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're not. I mean, Republicans are never going to win again unless they stand up and start fighting hard.
That's
to.
Right.
So then we got to 2018. Finally, there was the organization and money and Polis set up all these outposts throughout the state. And of course,
field offices.
Yeah. Field offices, which of course, since he's gay, it attracts lots of gay people. So it was, you know, it was great fun for people. But for those people, it was a lot of fun. And so as a practical matter, then they put the ballot harvesting scheme in. And the ballot harvesting scheme just destroyed Republicans in Colorado. It doesn't matter if Phil Weiser was a terrible one. It didn't matter if the Secretary
of State.
The
candidates were horrible. Had no experience.
And so,
but you're missing one important thing that they did.
Okay, tell us what it is.
That was that they brought in a straw man, and you're going to have this person was from like New Hampshire, I believe. And he was kind of an environmentalist. And he wanted all of these setbacks to be pushed back. And so they, it was a brilliant tactical move. So what they did was that they said, okay, we're going to set all these oil and drilling rigs back 2,500 feet from the property lines. And that's going to put everybody out of your jobs that are in the oil industry or oil related fields, as well as any gas operations, the waitresses and restaurants, all of that. And so it was save your job and get out and vote this thing down. Well, that was a get out the vote campaign in reality, because all of these blue collar workers who live like in Adams County and other counties that rely upon that as an income, their jobs, they're traditionally Democrats.
Right.
And so they needed to register those people as Democrats and get them to vote in a straight party ticket. That was the secret that they did. And
well,
they
and
they
got them to spend all the money instead
It's spending on Republican candidates.
Right.
And of course, the laughable part about it is once they convened the legislature, they just adopted the same thing that the voters had just.
Exactly. Rejected. So that went down in flames big time. I mean, it was like 70% of the voters said, no, we don't want that. But they were mainly Democrats. And so then what happened was that they simply elected all those people who voted. They voted their traditional way. They went Democrat all the way down the ticket. And so they elected all these Democrats. And once they got in there into the legislative body, they simply passed
But they also learned, because we got calls from people in old age homes.
Yeah.
They went into the old age homes and paid off the manager and browbeat people into voting Democrat.
Right.
And a thousand other things. I mean, if you want to look into Wisconsin, what did they do there? Well, they had a traditional absentee ballot where you had to be out of state or permanently incarcerated.
Some sort of a hardship.
Where you couldn't get out of the house. Well, then they just said, well, that means everybody. It's COVID time.
Right.
So everybody could do an absentee ballot. I mean, that's at the level they think.
It works so well for them. And the thing is, and again, the Republicans, and I think because many of them, I don't know if they're just dumb or they're getting, again, their piece of the money train, they don't care. And so they didn't stand up and fight. And what's happened is, and I'm going to bring this back around now a little bit because we're kind of running out of time.
We're not running out of time.
What's happened is the establishment Republicans, the Diablo Republicans, are now doing everything they can to squash and quell and destroy the grassroots Republicans because
They have. As a practical matter, the Patrick Neville and grassroots Republicans won a majority of the House seats.
Right.
The Democrats said, let's see, I got an idea. We can't win these seats up in Weld County. By running a Democrat. We'll just win the primary. So they went to New York and they got Catherine Murdoch, the daughter-in-law of Rupert Murdoch, but a far lefty, wife of James Murdoch. And she contributed $3 to $4 million, which in Colorado politics is
in Colorado alone. I mean, they did this across the country.
Right. They picked that very seat. So in the primary, there were four seats up. One Justin
Everett. False flags.
Yeah, false flags.
Exactly.
And they, with all the money thrown at them, they won all three by fairly large margins. Yeah. And having that, you had four seats, which now were safe on the left-hand side. So before, Patrick had a majority. Now he had a minority.
Well, so
he didn't run. Tim Geithner and Matt Beasley and other turncoats turned on him also. But basically, it was that going into Republican primaries and winning overwhelmingly.
Well, and they did it with Democrat money. Keep that in mind. Greg Brophy, who will criticize the grassroots, who used to be a Republican himself, solicited and accepted Democrat money for candidates and causes.
But so, he also raised money for Democratic candidates.
And
that's the Republican, right?
Right.
He was raising.
Yeah, the Republicans.
And he got various Republicans to contribute, got the NRA to back the Democratic candidate, but behind the scenes, Patrick and his group were supporting the Republicans.
The real Republicans.
And they didn't let anybody know.
I mean, it's literally a wolf in sheep's clothing. You've got Democrats putting on a little R hat, and they're running, calling themselves Republicans. They're not. They're winning. And then
bipartisan.
And then you get traitors. Or either they're ignorant, or I think anymore they're just propaganda arms of the Democrat Party. The Denver Post and like Kyle Clark of Channel 9 do stories, and they quote then these so-called Republicans as being bipartisan, and they try to say, oh, see, these people are too conservative, they can't get elected, when that's not the case at all. The reality is the Democrats throw so much money supporting the fake Republicans that the fake Republicans win, and they say, oh, see, we've got these Republicans, they're the ones that people really care about.
So like Hugh McCain. Patrick pointed out, sent out the voter registration of Conrad, or whatever his name is,
Denver Post reporter.
That showed that he was a Democrat. Then they said, no, you're doxing him for his address. And you're kind of like, ooh, like you couldn't find out his address anyway. And so they all came down on him with the, McCain said, we'll see if we'll sanction him. Yeah, you do that.
So
the Republican Party now in Colorado is almost dead.
Well, the establishment.
Well, no, the Republican Party. Well, there are a few outposts. Adams County is one of them.
Yeah.
Jefferson County,
Denise Mundt. And there are a few others. The Republicans in Boulder, I think. And so now I think the attack on Patrick was to get in Scott Gessler. Scott Gessler is a total swamp creature. He is part of the Josh Penry, Andy George, Clear Creek Strategies group and so forth. And he's just absolutely revolting.
He has done some good things, when he came to the aid of the Westminster.
Well, he didn't come.
Right, and he still is to the Westminster Water people. He's a good lawyer.
No, he got paid and got paid a lot. So he didn't come in voluntarily.
Yeah.
And he's coming in for the recall, but he's demanding every penny of his $400 an hour from them. But he's a good lawyer. But a good lawyer for the left, a good lawyer for the establishment. And anybody who wants Scott Gessler is worthless to us. He's just one more, I don't know, Ryan Call.
Well, and let me.
Yeah.
He's just one more Ryan Call.
I'm a strong supporter of a young man that we have here in Adams County that I think has a lot of integrity and honor, and that is Anil Mathai.
Yes.
And I would love to see him run. I don't know if he will or not, but I think that he was probably one of the best choices that we have that would not be willing to just lay down and roll over and, give some lame, concession speech as what we saw with, our former senator, who was probably not moving back to Yuma, but will remain in the D.C. area.
Absolutely.
And, one thing to a defense, I just wanted to mention this, this is a sort of an aside, but in defense of Patrick Neville, this is my belief anymore. I think it would be wrong if you put out the address of a journalist, but the key word there being journalist. Journalist implies straightforward, unbiased reporting of things that are going on. Right. Anymore, the Denver Post reporters and Kyle Clark at Channel 9 and some of the other people at Channel 9, they are not journalists. They are political operatives, and they're political operatives running a PR campaign for the Democrat Party. And to me, when you start playing favorites like that, then you lose any shield that you might get to expect as a real journalist. And so if you're going to write a shill piece and a hatchet piece for the Democrat Party, and make no mistake, that's all it was, then you just like any other operative, you deserve to be doxxed.
But here's another great one, because back in 2018, it looked like Susan Beckman, who was a House rep, was going to win the chairmanship. And she knew how to run elections because she did it. She knew how they cheated. She knew everything else. Total panic. So then they went to Washington, D.C. Steve House, who was then the chairman.
They being the establishment Republicans in Colorado.
Yes, and they said, look, Ken, why don't you come in and unify everybody, and Steve will run the operation, and you just raise money, and we'll all be happy. She was going to win. She made one critical mistake. She told who they call Butterball.
All right.
Butterball. She was going to get rid of him. So they rigged it. Butterball would call people and say, she'd allow phone in. Every kind of proxy that wasn't allowed by the rules, saying, oh, the rules.
Yeah. Well, as a bonus member, I was there. I witnessed that, what they were doing, and they absolutely violated our bylaws by keeping open the proxy application to be submitted to the credentials committee. It's supposed to end. And then when the gavel hits and opens the meeting, that's the end of your proxies that you can place in order. We had, I believe, on our side, we had 6. It totaled at that meeting was 80. Okay. At the end of the meeting, because they left it open, they were accepting proxies by text messages and phone calls, which is a violation of what we have to do.
Smoke signals, pigeons.
Anything, just a wink and a nod, that's sufficient. So these proxies were, when we asked for copies, or I shouldn't say we, but when Susan Beckman's team asked for copies of those proxies, they all went missing. 74 of them went missing. Right. Now, the 6 that Susan had on her side, they were there and they were properly registered. But yes, there's a lot of crap that's going on in our state party because of these false flags that have entered, and also people that are making lots of money. You haven't mentioned Wayne Williams and his role in all of this stuff and how he was forcing some of the, the Dominion machines down our throats out here. In Adams County, we got him and with objection. So there's a lot of things that are going on. And for all of those viewers that you have, and I know you have other viewers from other states, Texas, wake up, because this stuff is coming to you. I'll tell you that straight up. And so you need to listen to this show. This show really should be publicized, in my opinion, Newsmax. I was just listening to that the other day, and Rudy Giuliani has now said that Fox News is no longer giving him a venue to talk about what's going on.
Right.
So Fox News is not there, but Newsmax, there's where this show, like you two, you need to be on there with Michelle.
God's ears, Ben.
Well, I'm telling you, you're speaking the truth, and that's what needs to happen out here. We are this epicenter. Other states need to hear this. They need to understand what's going on and how it happened to us and what's coming to you next.
And poor Ken Buck. So he comes in thinking he wasn't in on the cheat. That's always done by the lower level people. They didn't even inform him they're cheating. And so he comes in thinking he's supposed to be chairman, not just owned and bought for by the establishment.
Right.
So when they tried to rig a primary
in El Paso County,
and it was brought to the Central Committee, the Central Committee said, no, you can't rig primaries, put both people on the ballot.
Right.
And when Ken told, what was his name?
Bremer.
Eli Bremer.
Then he claimed that he was trying to force him to do an illegal act. So they brought criminal charges against Ken.
Yeah, yeah.
and he found out. And then ethics charges against Ken. And if you ever see the Denver Post, they never mentioned the rigging of the primary, only that Ken Buck relayed the executive committee's decision to include the other one on the ballot.
Well, back to my point, the Denver Post, those people, they are political operatives, nothing more than political operatives.
But here's a great point. Now we have the Denver Post, which really is a dying one. I mean, very, you know, when after they did the thing on Patrick Neville, I went around a lot of people, asked if they'd read it.
No one had read it.
I hadn't read it because I don't take that paper.
Yeah. Right.
But contrary to that, on the other side is Phil Anschutz's
Complete Colorado Politics.
Denver Gazette.
Epic News.
What?
Yep. Epic News is another great paper. It's conservative.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, well, no, wait a minute.
He's talking about bad ones first.
They are the Denver Post. Yeah. Phil Anschutz, you read the Colorado State's Colorado Politics and Denver Gazette, and there's no difference. They attack conservatives like Patrick Neville. They attack grassroots people. They promote Democrats and establishment Republicans. They're exactly the same. They are no different they're absolutely no different. You also have the Complete Colorado. Now, Complete Colorado is also funded, I assume, indirectly by Anschutz, and it will raise Republican ones, but it'll never attack a Democrat. It just won't do it because they're whatever it is they're fearful of, or whatever else. No attacks on Democrats, so you get some good stories there, but really very little. So you have very few outlets in Colorado. They're not controlled either by the Democrats or by
establishment Republicans.
Phil Anschutz is going to have to, you know, he's going to pay the piper one day here because of all the closures of these coal mining operations. And then you're going to have 4 years of an attack on natural gas, coal mines, et cetera. And Phil Anschutz makes his money on hauling coal.
Phil has figured out another way to make money.
Well, that's probably true.
He doesn't stay. He figures out the way to move. So that's how, at least in Colorado, the Colorado Republican Party is today little different than the Democratic Party.
It's salvageable, though. I truly believe that it is salvageable. Okay. But we need the right people, and you need the right tact, and that's through the courts. And until
and the
we
right
learn
money,
yes, and the
yes
right
but,
money.
But the fact is, if you reverse the roles here, as to what we had to put up with in the year 2000 and prior to that, they were always going to the court.
I agree.
That's what they did because they didn't have the money and they didn't have the control. We have to learn the same lesson. We have to go to the courts. We have to challenge them on all of these things, including the mail-in ballots and all the other things. So I think the party is salvageable, but you need the right leadership.
All right. Well, since now we're on the positive portion, let's have some Christmas cheer, Julie.
Well, first let me say, because we got to wrap it up. Ben, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes. We appreciate everything you do and everything that your analysis is great. Thank you.
Merry Christmas to all of you and all of your listeners. Thank you. Happy New Year to you and bless your families.
All right, Ben, thank you so much. And bye-bye. I think Ben is right. I mean, to wrap it up here with the cheerfulness, it is salvageable. In the end, the people, I just refuse to believe that the people don't matter. The people do matter. And the people will, I think, rise up and continue to rise up. I think we're in for the fight of our life. That's why we wanted to talk about this today, even though we should be, you know,
Christmas cheer.
I think it is the state of our state and the state of our country are crucial. And there is hope there. And on that note, I do want to be cheerful and say,
all right, good.
You know, I'd say, to be honest, a year ago at this time, as people may recall, things are not that great for Chuck and I. We had just gotten off of KNUS. Who would have thought that a year later we would be here, we would still be with all of you and a growing audience. So I just want to say not only Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everybody.
We appreciate it.
But greatly. Thank you. We appreciate you. And, you know, from the beginning, we always said we wanted it to feel like we're all just kind of sitting around the kitchen table talking.
We are sitting.
That's right. Yeah, but literally now we are. No, I mean, I hope you all feel that way too. And thank you for all of your continued support. ChuckandJulie.com. Thank you to the miracle workers at BBS.
They work 365, 24/7. We asked them this question of saying, well, I want to talk to you tomorrow sometime. You have any time available? And he says, well, we'll be here. So call me anytime between, you know,
10 a.m. and 10 p.m. I'm like, well, I guess I could figure that out. Hey, so listen, everybody, thank you so much. We will be back live on Monday. Can't wait to hear from you all.
Yeah. And once again, have a happy Christmas and a Merry Christmas, rather. And we'll have a great new year coming up.